This podcast is brought to you by PrideNZ.com with generous support from the Royal Foundation. How do you describe your identity?
Genderqueer, pansexual, poly.
What do those words mean to you?
Pansexual is like means I'm really open to anyone of any gender, that I don't really discriminate on base of gender. So I could be with a transsexual, I could be with a genderqueer person, I could be with a cis person, whatever. Genderqueer, to me, it means my gender fluctuates. It's not really the same each day. It changes from being either feeling a bit more boyish or a bit more girlish one day, and or somewhere in between. And poly means that I am open to have more than one relationship at a time, intimate relationship.
When did you first become aware of those varying identities?
I came aware of my attraction to girls when I was about 18, and my genderqueer identity is a little bit more recent. It's probably 22. It's just a rough guess. And probably 23.
What was it like when you first realised that you were attracted to other girls?
Awkward! it was awkward. It's just like, I was at the time in a heterosexual relationship, and it's like, oh, I'm attracted to girls too. Oh, I can't be with a girl. I want to be with a girl, and I can't because I'm already in a relationship. And it's just like, oh, and so I had to pretend a guy was a girl. That's not good.
What happened after that?
I'm still in the same relationship, so he's kind of accepting of that reality, and that I do have the attraction to the opposite sex, and he's fine with it. So it's still good.
Did you have like a coming out narrative?
I've got really nice friends who are really open and like understanding, so I'm out to them, but I'm not really out to my family. I don't actively hide it, like, so my Facebook is filled with me saying, putting flirtish comments on girls' Facebook comments, pictures and stuff, and me, like, trying out drag queen kind of attire, drag king attire, so there's some clues for them.
Did you grow up in Christchurch?
Yes.
Yeah. What was it like at your high school? How were people treated for their sexual orientation or gender being different?
Well, the thing is, in high school I was really just, I really was not aware of my sexuality or my gender identity at the time, so I don't really know what it was like to be at our school it was kind of alright to be like for the girls to dress up in the boys' uniform, so that was pretty good and just so more practical. Who wants to bike around in a kilt? And it's all right for the girls to participate in sports and stuff, but there was still some, like, a lot of girls just sat out inside sport and sat on the benches and talked, which was boring. And so, but I don't think in sexuality education that I experienced that there really was much mention of other orientations other than heterosexual.
Do you remember any kind of messages when you were younger about what it meant to be queer? What kind of ideas, like when you were first realising, did you have about it?
It wasn't really talked about in my environment, either in a negative or positive way. So it was just something like I had no kind of pinpoint or information about. It was just like I am this. I kind of have to find out though my own information, and some of the stuff isn't pleasant, especially when you get into like queer discrimination and transphobia and all that kind of stuff. It's a kind of a sad reality for some.
Have you experienced much discrimination personally because of your sexual orientation or gender?
I wouldn't say discrimination, but I have to explain some things to people when they're very, like, cisgendered, and so they don't really understand what it is to not have your body aligned in terms of gender. And so they're kind of like, it's a foreign kind of concept for them, and they find it really hard to relate to. Mm-hmm. So there's the difficulty to relate I get a lot. But that otherwise I don't really feel discriminated against personally, but I know there's discrimination out there, so I'm a little bit closed off in who I'm out to. So I wouldn't be, so I'm not as open about my sexuality or gender as I would like.
Mm-hmm. When did you first realise that you were genderqueer? What kind of thought process did you go through? How did you learn that was a thing you could be?
Just like how I kind of liked boyish things, and I felt more identifiable with male things, and I mean, I just kind of, but I didn't want to reject my femininity, so I still wanted that to be there, so I wasn't like transgender where I was like I just want to be the opposite gender. There's the mixture of them in together.
What apart from not understanding, what other kinds of reactions do you get from people? Like, how's your partner when you talked about that?
He's pretty accepting. He tries to understand, and he lets me explain things, and he listens, and he kind of respects me for who I am, and doesn't try and change me, and doesn't try and make me fit into this pre-prescribed mould of whatever I should be. So it's pretty good.
And have you had relationships with women since you came out?
Not a lot, sadly. That makes me sad.
Do you think it's hard to find other people who are interested in non-monogamous relationships?
Yeah, I think it is hard. It's like, it's another thing you have to explain. And it's like, you have to explain the rules and how it works, and because people aren't really familiar with it. And it's also, it's kind of hard to get connected into the, get to mingle with gay people. Because you have to find it, and it can be kind of, I find it a little bit hard when I'm not very much of a social person, and like bars and parties and stuff, it's not my strong point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you find that you, if your primary relationship is with a cis man?
Yeah.
Do you often get, do people assume that you're heterosexual and cisgendered because of the relationship you're in?
I probably don't come across of as cisgendered a lot of the time. But that's because of the way I dress. Like, I'll normally dress kind of a little bit masculine some days, and so I'm tomboyish, and so they're cisgender, but they would probably assume that I'm heterosexual just by looking at my partner and stuff. But I normally use gender, like I refer to him as my partner a lot of the time, so you can't really say, go by that, whether I'm in a hetero relationship.
Mm. When people do assume that you're straight, how does that feel?
It feels like a lie. It feels like a lie. Because I'm not, and I want to be recognised as the orientation that I personally feel that I am, even though that I'm not out. Just like, it's a not oxymoron, isn't it?
Do you see many kind of stereotypes about being sexual and kind of more general, like bisexual people? Or that people try and, who do know that you're pansexual, do they ever challenge that? Or be like, you know, to pick one or the other? Or greedy, any of those kind of stereotypes?
Oh, yeah. Like, I get some lot of stereotypes about being polyamorous, like, it's immoral, it's greedy. Those are the two main ones I feel I get in terms of, say, pansexual. We'll probably get the greedy one again, and also undecided,
mm-hmm.
I think. And I think there's not enough kind of gender queerness in the media or portraying the many for people to pick up on stereotypes, so they just have no information about it, so you just have to explain, and so you get to explain it in a way that you like and free of those stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. How do you respond to people who kind of stereotype you in that way?
So far it's just been my friends, so it's been pretty easy to create a dialogue and challenge their discourse. So you can actually say to them, oh, hang on, that's not how it really is. It's something else, and you can actually sit there and it's not too hard to explain to them. So
what have you been doing since you left school?
Getting over a mental illness. That's never fun and time consuming. So that was kind of really hard. And then I went into uni. So I've been doing uni for the last 3 years.
What are you studying?
Psychology, sociology, health science, and human services.
Wow. A mouthful.
Yeah.
What kind of, are you out at uni?
I go to UniQ, which is University's Canterbury queer group. I haven't been much to their events. I should probably check out their page.
Is it important to you to have like a sense of community and belonging?
Yes, because it means like you can know who you can date. Because if there's no community, it's kind of like you're left out in this world and you have to go, hang on, are you? I like you. Are you? And you have to kind of ask people whether they're gay, and then you have yourself, you have to come out to them as being gay, and it's like,
Kind of a lot easier to have a space where you kind of know that everyone's...
Not necessarily, not... There's a good chance that these people here are going to be non-heterosexual.
Have you experienced any kind of... discrimination at university, or observed any?
No.
Pretty supportive place to be. Do you see things like Facebook and social media and the YouTube and the internet playing more of a part in the way that we queer and trans young people connect with others and find information about
the
community?
The thing, like, I love watching YouTube, and the good thing about YouTube, it's anyone can make content, so there are queer people making content, and I do like to follow some of these queer people on YouTube, like Queer as a Cat, which she's a genderqueer asexual girlfriend, boyfriend and everything in between, which is a lesbian host and talks about pansexual lesbian issues, and then there's there's a few other ones as well. Can't remember the names of those.
Have you been involved in making your own content?
Yep, I do, and I like to focus on, like, I did a video on the two videos on the Roastbusters, one about the peer group that they were in, and then what was actually wrong with the Roastbusters, and what was wrong with the behaviour of the Roastbusters. And then I wrote
a poem. Talk a little bit about the Roastbusters.
The Roastbusters was a group of boys who slept with drunk and often underage girls and then posted their exploits on a social media site called Facebook.
So what was doing those videos about?
I was about putting New Zealand issues out there on the internet, and how, like, sexuality is played out in New Zealand, and also processing what I thought about the Roastbusters and critiquing them and having a look at maybe they, like, how the peer groups kind of okayed it and kind of said, oh, we don't have, they're just being boys, and they're not really, just kind of made excuses for them, not really challenging with their behaviour and kind of reinforcing that behaviour and saying, yeah, they're not challenging it.
What other kinds of videos have you made?
Another one I just did called Sexy Milkshake, which is a poem about safe sex, but using the milkshake is the metaphor sex.
Cool. And what do you get out of, and what do you kind of hope to spread through making YouTube videos? What do you get from watching other people's?
What I get from watching other people's videos is that there's people like out there like me making videos, and so I feel like there's that content is kind of catered to me a wee bit, because these are the people who have experienced similar things to me and are sitting in the situation and identify in a different, in a non-normative way.
How do you feel about the way the more mainstream kind of media and pop culture portray queer and trans people?
It's a bit hard for me to say, because I'm kind of connected and quite well into, like, the queer media, and so I kind of do a lot of, like, I'm subscribed to Queer Gay Star and Queer Nation and all these other Gay NZ and all these other queer news sites, so I get a lot of media from the queer community, and so it's really hard. So I'm like, but oh.
So you seek that out, and lots of those would be like international
businesses. Yeah, yeah. So I kind of make an effort to be connected into queer information.
Why is that important to you?
Because it tackles issues that affect me, and it gets me to understand what's going on in my community and how the issues that I might experience if I come out as whatever I come out as genderqueer or pansexual. And so it's a way to kind of engage how people react, but when you get a lot of American stuff, you're like, oh, scared as hell.
Do you see any of your identities reflected in any movies or TV shows? Like, have there been any characters or storylines that you can relate to?
There was the R Word, which was a while ago, which was about a group of lesbians, which was cool. That's the only one I can think of, which is sad.
Do you see any genderqueer people at all in the media?
There was the this year's Eurovision winner was a drag queen, so that's one example, isn't it?
Depends how you look at it, I guess. Do you see lots of stereotypes of queer and trans people in the media?
Yes. Stereotypes are easy to reproduce and are easy for people to relate to because they create this kind of idea of what a queer person is and some assumptions about them, so you can go, okay, this is a queer person, they're going to be like this, this and this, and then okay, then you don't have to explain all those things to them in detail because they already have these assumptions about them.
What would you like to see more of in the media and pop culture?
Diversity, race, orientation, gender, able-bodied, disabled-bodied.
How do you feel about the marriage equality bill that passed last year?
Yay! I think it's an important step forward because it's legitimizing these relationships, saying, yes, you can be married, yes, you recognize as you're having a long-term relationship and a stable one at that, that you recognize that your relationship is recognized as something important to you, something that you invest in, and also like with like if you break up or somebody dies, there's some legal stuff around whether the stuff goes to, how the stuff is divided up and all that kind of stuff.
Were you involved at all in making a submission or celebrating it, watching everything?
No.
What do you think, as someone who's polyamorous, what do you think about people who also want legal rights, marriage rights for polyamorous people in those relationships?
I think before we even do that, it needs to be more talked about in the public eye and more recognised as this is a way you can also have relationships and that's okay. It's not, I don't think it's talked enough in the public for that step to be even thought of yet. It's got some other steps it needs to take before that.
Definitely. What do you think are some of the most important issues that are facing queer and trans youth in New Zealand at the moment?
Mental health, bullying and discrimination.
What do you think are some of the solutions to those issues?
Having queer alliance, straight and queer alliance in schools where you have a group which kind of straight people and gay and queer people can go to and they can stick up for the rights of other queer and then do kind of queer things. And so it's not assumed that when you're sticking up for gay rights or queer rights that you are queer yourself, that you can be cis straight and still stick up for queer rights. I think health workers in schools, like mental health people, like more health promotion and in schools, and also encouraging those things to be in the community as well. So it's not just relying on the schools to kind of fix their children. It's like, okay, like having like a mental health after school program where you learn how to cope and stuff, where they do like workshops and stuff. So it's not relying just on the school to tackle it, it's taking a more broader community approach to it.
Where do you think we might be in 10 years' time?
Less discrimination, more acceptance, maybe a little bit more open, and less scary coming out as queer.
What are your personal kind of hopes for your future?
That I can be me without any worries. And I don't have to worry about people discriminating against me, attacking me, or insulting me for what I am.
If you could give a message to a young person struggling to come out as queer or genderqueer, what would it be?
Find people who accept you to begin with, just kind of talk about the issues relating to queer and see how people respond. If they're kind of on your side, and you can say, okay, I'm this way, and would you support me and be there for me and stuff, and kind of help me through this process, and just finding good friends you can trust to start off with, and then slowly coming out to more and more people, and then you've got people to fall back on if a coming out process, coming out to someone kind of who's a bit AWOL and not pleasant.
What's your favourite thing about being a pansexual, genderqueer, poly person in New Zealand?
I like being genderqueer because I can wear any clothes I want. And I just, I can shop in any section, except probably the kids section. And I can wear what I want. I like being pansexual because I get to know all these different varieties of people, and that they don't be select of who they are because of their gender. I get to know them because I want to get to know that person. And I like being polyamorous because I just like giving love and caring for people and having people close to me.